In our previous lessons, we have already studied the husband-wife relationship, and we have noticed that the basic responsibility of the wife is to submit herself to her husband. And we also noticed that the basic responsibility of that one to whom she is to submit, that is her husband, is to love his wife. Now this morning we come to that second basic area of relationship, and that is the child-parent relationship. And that is developed for us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In the first three verses, we notice the basic responsibility of the child, the Christian child, toward his or her parents. And in verse 4, we have the basic responsibility, as you will notice, of the father. But next week in our lesson, we will expand that and note the basic responsibility of parents toward their children. Now this morning, what I would like to do is address myself directly to the children who are in the audience, to the Christian children who are present. And I would like, with the help of God and through the scriptures before us, to give to you a key that will open up the door to a life of tremendous blessing, of deep joy, and of the guidance and blessing of God in your life. It seems appropriate that I address myself to the children, because that is exactly the way Paul begins chapter 6, verse 1. He addresses himself directly to children. This obviously assumes on the part of Paul that there are going to be children in the meeting of the assembly when this epistle was written by Paul to the Ephesians. And that was characteristic of the New Testament church. When the church gathered together, the children met with their parents. It was a single meeting, and together the family sat under the ministry of the Word of God. We feel that there are some tremendous values, of course, in bringing our children to church. You believe that, obviously, or you wouldn't be here this morning. But at Believer's Chapel, we even go one step further to say that we really believe that there are some very distinct values in having your children in the service with you. And that is one of the reasons why we do not have a junior church at Believer's Chapel. We believe that in the ministry of the Word service, that there are many great values in the family sitting together, parents with their children, not only to teach their children discipline, but also so that the parents and children can interact in the ministry that has been given to the church on that particular Sunday morning. I suppose that we could legitimately read into this phrase a little exhortation to the preachers. And I suppose that many of our ministry of the word services would be more applicable to children if just on one or two occasions we would stop and direct our comments directly to the children. And I take from Paul's comments here that this would be a good lesson for me in my preaching. Howbeit, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3 are directly addressed to Christian children. Let us see if we can, as we read our passage together, what Paul says is the basic responsibility of that Christian child. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Very striking parenthesis. Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So I suppose that Paul would never win a popularity contest on most secular campuses or high schools today. But under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul states to us very simply, but yet very clearly, that the basic responsibility of the Christian child is to honor his parents. He is to honor his parents. If you were to look up the word honor in the Random House Dictionary, you would discover that they suggest it means to regard with high public esteem, and I rather like that. The Hebrew word literally means to be heavy, and suggests to us the idea of valuing as very precious and valuable. I suspect that all of us in the auditorium immediately agree that to honor implies a mental attitude of valuing or prizing or esteeming or respecting one's parents. Now this attitude of honoring one's parents is expressed in three ways in the life of a Christian child. These three ways are not simultaneous. They are chronological. They are according to the development of the child and also according to the maturation of his parents. For instance, in the old age of his parents, he is to honor them by caring for them. He honors them by caring for them according to the needs that they have in their old age. in the Old Testament times, early in the Old Testament times, when a parent, an adult, came to that state when they were not really very productive or very useful in the home, when infirmity overcame their physical body, the custom was to put the parents out of the home so that they would die either of exposure or at the hands or mouths or claws of some wild beast. It is John W. Howe that says, civilization took a mighty leap forward when God gave the fifth commandment to the children of Israel, which said, honor thy father and thy mother. And one of the ways that this was to be expressed was that in the old age of your parents, you are responsible to care for them according to their needs. By the time the New Testament era has arrived, the Pharisees had introduced a custom that virtually abrogated this obligation. And the Lord Jesus clearly condemns the custom. In Matthew chapter 15, he speaks to the Pharisees who had introduced a custom whereby instead of giving means to care for the needs of your parents in their old age, you could give that money as a special gift to the synagogue or to the temple, and thereby to gain some special self-righteousness. Now, very striking that when the Lord Jesus makes comment of this in chapter 15, verses 3 to 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, he clearly states that such a custom was devised by the Pharisees to undo this very commandment of honoring your father and mother. When Paul writes later in his epistles, he says that the child who does not care for his parents in their old age, according to their needs, is worse than an infidel. And that is in contrast with the background of that Old Testament era before the giving of this commandment. Christian children, as your parents reach maturity and ultimately the sunset years of their life, your basic responsibility is to honor them, esteem them as valuable and precious by caring for them, whatever their needs might be. But prior to that era, prior to the days of their old age and infirmity, and after your marriage, you are to honor your parents by consulting them or considering them as counselors and guides in your Christian experience, valuing their experience, appreciating their know-how and their insights. And the second responsibility then of the Christian child after their marriage and prior to those sunset years of their life is to consult them for guidance and insights into the decisions and plans of their life or of your life and of the rearing of your children. But then the third way that honoring one's parents is expressed is before your marriage and in the years of your childhood, to honor them by obeying them. And that is exactly the passage that is before us this morning. Now, I suspect immediately there is something of a reaction in your mind as a child. You respond by saying, now, just a moment. Are you implying from what you have just said that up until the time that I enter into marriage, it is my obligation to absolutely obey my parents? Now, I would answer that by suggesting, my friends, that I think that is very strongly the implication of both the Old and the New Testament. For instance, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, in the conception of marriage or the inception of marriage and the inception of family life, the instruction is, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto this woman or his wife. And the implication obviously is that until that point of marriage, the child lives in his home under his parents, obligated to obey his parents. Now, since the implication from the Old Testament as well as the New Testament is very clearly that prior to the moment of a person's marriage, their obligation is to absolutely obey their parents. Now, our custom or our society has changed considerably, and it's possible today in our society for some men particularly to choose the blissful life of bachelorhood instead of to enter into the responsibilities of married life. In our society, it's possible for a 17-year-old girl to leave home, to go away to a secular campus, and to be out from under the home of her parents. Strikingly, in our affluent society, it's possible for you as a teenager to be financially independent of your parents, to have your own means of income, and not to be economically obligated to them. Now, in the light of this, I would like to suggest this morning that your obligation as a Christian child as far as obeying your parents is concerned, apply. As long as you are under obligation to your parents. That is, as long as you live in the home of your parents, it is your obligation to obey them. As long as you are financially, economically dependent upon your parents, it is your obligation to obey them. Now let me say this in passing. It certainly is very clear that when a child passes out from under obligation to his parents, that even though his obligation now is not to obey his parents, he is not free from the fifth commandment of the Decalogue. The fact is, my young friend, that as long as your parents live, you will never be free of the fifth commandment to honor your parents. You shall never be free of that as long as either of your parents live. All that shall happen is that as you mature and as they mature, you will give expression to that honor in a varying way. Until the time that you move out from under an obligation to them, living under their roof, economically, financially dependent upon them, it is your obligation before God to obey absolutely those parents. You say, but just a minute now. Isn't that just carrying it slightly too far? Did you really say to absolutely obey your parents? I bet that's exactly what the scriptures are teaching us in this passage. For instance, if you were to turn to the companion parallel passage to Ephesians chapter 6, you would find it in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. You know the passage. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, a parallel passage with this, says, children, obey your parents, and what's the next phrase? In all things. And that seems very clearly to be an absolute obedience. It is to obey your parents in all things. That is the clear obligation of the Christian child. Now, in saying that, and let me know, that this is the extent of the child's obligation in obeying his parents. It extends to all things. In saying that, though, let me note that the epistle to the Ephesians, as well as the epistle to the Colossians, considers a Christian home. Did you notice that? This considers a Christian home. And the obvious assumption on the part of the Apostle Paul is that Christian parents would never ask of their children something that is contrary to the moral law of God or contrary to the written will of God. And it is within that context that you as a child are obligated to absolutely and completely obey your parents in all things as long as you are living obligated to them. Just this week, I heard of a non-Christian father hiring a girl in Dallas to teach his son all that there was to learn about sex. Now, that son is a Christian boy, teenager. And the father explained it to his son by saying, son, I want you to have some experience, and I want you to learn. And so he had hired a woman to teach his son these things and to give him experience. Now, it is in that situation that the Christian child recognizes that there is a higher allegiance. There is a higher obligation to parents. And that higher obligation is to God. It's the exact principle that the apostles gave voice to when in the book of the Acts they said, we must obey God rather than man. And there comes a time in the life of a Christian child who is living in an unsaved home where if it is contrary to the will of God, to the word of God, to the moral law of God, that Christian child must say to his unsaved parents, I must obey God rather than man. That, says the Lord in Luke chapter 14, is the cost of discipleship. You cannot be my disciple, says the Lord, unless you hate your father and mother. That is, unless you love them less than you love me, I must have prior and priority claim in that life of yours. It seems very clear then, does it not? The basic responsibility of the Christian child is to honor his parents by absolutely obeying them in all things as long as he is living obligated to them under their roof or in financial obligation to them. Now, if this were a classroom and we had an informal atmosphere and we could have ejected all of you mums and dads from the audience and I just had a nice group of children in the audience, I would immediately at this point have a flurry of hands waving in my face. And these are the protests that children are going to make against the very responsibility that God has stated in this passage. One young fellow stands, and he says, but sir, if I did this, I would never even be noticed by my parents.
And if you said that to me,
I would stop and I would think in my mind, what a tragedy, that your parents are so busy with their business life, with their social life, or with their own personal selves, that the only time they notice you is when you disobey them. Or if your parents only realize what a tremendous craving within your heart just to be recognized by them. Such a craving that you are willing to disobey, that you are willing to bear the consequences and the punishment of disobedience, because it is by that means that you gain the attention of your parents and they pay notice to you. That's what I would think when I looked at you, but I would not say that to you. I would turn to you and I would say, my young Christian friend, there is a better way. There is a better way to get the attention of your parents than that way. Any athlete knows that there are really only two ways to get the attention of the people in the stands, or of the coach on the side of the field, or the news writers who are watching. When I was a young fellow, I belonged to a track team. One day, our relay team was racing in the Canadian National Exhibition before 35,000 people. And I was the second person on that relay team. And if you can believe it, when the fellow came running up behind me with the baton, we called it a baton, I don't know what you call it. You called it a baton? When he came running up with that baton, I dropped it. And I became very conscious of the fact that one way to get the attention of 35,000 people is to do something wrong. And I just sat there on that track. I cried, I must confess. I was a young fella then. And I cried, and I felt those 35,000 pairs of eyes just burning on me. I had managed to gain the attention of the people. And my coach, and all the rest of the fellas on our team, they were all looking at me. But there's a better way. There's a better way to gain the attention. And that is, of course, for that athlete to make some kind of a dazzling play. Or for that person out in the field to break some record. Or for that young person to devote themselves in such a way that they're going to excel in a particular thing. And it is by that route they not only gain the attention of their parents, but you will gain their respect and you will gain their love. And my Christian young friend, I would like to say to you this morning that that is the better way to gain the attention of your parents. It is to excel in things that are good and things that are kind, in good works in that home of yours. You will gain their attention if you excel in them. If you devote yourself to do that type of thing, if you commit yourself to that program, you will gain their attention, and more than that, you will gain their respect and a measure of love that you never thought was within the capacity of your parents. But then I see another hand. And that there's such a mass of hands before me in this small group of young people that I'm not exactly sure where to go at this point. But I pick a young lady out. And she stands up and she says, it's really impossible for me to keep this responsibility. Because, you see, my parents don't agree on the crucial areas of my life. And as a result, when I move out to do something, I find that I am obeying one parent, but in order to do it, I am disobeying the other parent. And as a result, it is really impossible for me to conform to this responsibility that God puts upon me. My parents are not in agreement with what they expect of me and the standards they have for me. If you were to say that to me, I would look into your eyes and I would think. And I would say, what an utter tragedy that your parents are so emotionally immature that they could not sit down around the breakfast table and agree on the standards of music that they want you to listen to, or the places of entertainment that they will allow you to go, or the type of dates that they will permit you to have. I would say, what a tragedy. If they only realize by that lack of united front, they are creating tremendous conflicts and tremendous confusion in your life. If they only realize that they're actually contributing to your disobedience and to your disrespect of them. That's what I would think. But I would not say that to you. I would turn to you and I would say, did you notice the passage that we have read in Ephesians 6 verse 1? In that passage, the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul puts mother and father on an exact equal plane. Your responsibility as a Christian young person is to honor your parents. Not your mother or your father. It is to honor your parents. And that places them equally before you. Of course, it certainly implies that mother and father ought to have a common stand when they place requirements and obligations upon you. It also requires of you, as a Christian young person, that you honor them, respect them equally not one against the other. And I would turn to you as a Christian young person, and I would say, the fact of the matter is, my young Christian friend, the issue really is not that when you stepped out and did that, you obeyed your father and disobeyed your mother. That was not really what happened. What really happened was, when you stepped out and did that, you did what your father allowed you to do. And you did not do what you knew was going to please your mother. That's really the issue. In all of my experience, I do not discover that it is obey one to disobey the other. It is to do what one parent will allow me to do, and thereby not to please the other parent who wishes I would not do it. And if that is the situation in your life, my Christian young person, I want to say that your responsibility is to equally honor your parents, so that even though your mother would allow you to do it, if by doing it you would displease your father, you cannot do it. Your responsibility is to equally respect and honor mother and father. Do I see any other hands? Yes, I think I do. I look down, and I see a young person. As a matter of fact, this fellow is virtually the spokesman for hundreds of young people who are sitting in audiences. And he stands up and he says, "But sir, you don't know my parents." Ever heard that? "You don't know my parents." That is all right for you to say, but you do not understand my parents. My parents will not have an open mind to anything. My parents will not sit down and discuss my point of view. My parents are incapable of seeing my perspective on this matter. As a matter of fact, whenever we used to sit down to discuss it, we always ended up fighting. And now, when they want to talk about it, I sit down, and I quietly listen to them. And then I quietly proceed to disobey them. We do not even discuss it anymore, because I know that there is no point in discussing that. And if you were to say that to me, my Christian young friend, I would again think in my mind, what a tragedy. What a tragedy that parents will not take time to sit down and to listen to their children. What a tragedy that they will not devote themselves to trying to see it from the point of view of the child. What a tragedy that they will not understand the social, the economic, the pressures that are put on that child in their situation. What a tragedy that somehow they have communicated to you that they are unwilling to even entertain your problem and your thought on the matter. But I would not say that to you. I would turn to you and I would say, my Christian young friend, you cannot really expect your parents to listen to your point of view or to understand your point of view unless you are willing to understand their point of view. Unless you are willing to take time and effort to see it from their point of view. And I ask you that this morning, my young person sitting in the audience. Have you ever taken their point of view and tried to see it from their side? For instance, do you at this very moment have an understanding of the tremendous responsibility that your parents have? Someday they shall stand before Jesus Christ and they shall give an account to him of the way they have reared you. They shall give an account to you if they let you go out with their permission to do something on a Saturday night that proved to be something that was displeasing to God. They shall give an account of that. If they give you permission to do that, they are obligated and responsible to God for that. Do you understand that? Do you appreciate the love that your children have for you? Or that your parents have for you, rather? Do you see, as your mother and father sit across the living room, and as they place that restriction upon you, do you see that this is an expression of their love for you? Do you understand that? You see, you cannot expect your parents to understand you unless you are prepared to understand them. Do you value their experience, their insight, their objectivity? And unless you value that, you cannot expect them to value your problems and your insight. You see, what we are really talking about just momentarily is what is sometimes glibly called the generation gap. An article in his magazine recently stated that the generation gap is not an age gap. There has always been that. The generation gap is an awareness gap. So that in our day and age, there is a lack of awareness on the part of parents toward the needs and problems and insights of their children, and tragically so. There is, in reciprocation, a lack of awareness on the part of the children as to the responsibilities and the obligations, the love and the insight and the experience of a parent. That's what I would say to you. I know your parents, And I know that from your point of view, they seem very strict. But I ask you, do you understand your parents? Are you aware of their insight, of their responsibilities? Do you appreciate their love for you? My young Christian friend, you cannot use this excuse to move out from under this obligation unless you are prepared to understand the problems of your parents as well. The protest could continue. They are manifold. How many of them there are? One young person would stand up and say, I cannot obey my parents because they are hypocrites. They profess to be Christians, but in their Christian life, they are not Christians. They put certain standards on me as their child, and as I look in them, I see they do not even live up to those standards. Do you expect me to obey a parent who says that they are a Christian and are hypocrites in my home? Another young person stands up and says, if I ever assumed this responsibility, I would never make it with the crowd at school. I would be immediately ostracized by that social clique in which I find myself. Another person would stand and say, I disobey my parents because I don't really think they mean what they say when they tell me not to do something. You see, they're so inconsistent. And I've done it in the past and they never discipline me, and I don't really think that they mean what they say. Now, I don't know whether you've been able to follow me or not, but I have given you 6 protests that young people make against this responsibility. And my Christian young friend, as I look over my experience, and all of my counseling and talking with young people at camp, this summarizes the protest that young people make. I think if I were to place them in order of prominence and order of pressure, that I may change them slightly. But here are the 6 major protests that Christian young people make against the responsibility that God has laid before them. And I would like to say this. If you have dared even to think in your mind any one of these protests, or any aspect of these protests, particularly if you should dare to step forward and to voice them to your parents, or to your brothers or sisters, or to the folks at school, that peer group, if you should do that, you have immediately proclaimed loudly and clearly to everyone who is within your hearing 2 things about yourself. You have immediately proclaimed that you are living a life that is under the control of the spirit of this age. And one of the characteristics of the age in which you live is disobedience to parents. 2 Timothy 3:2 states that this is a characteristic of the last days. Romans chapter 1 says that this is one of the manifestations of a man who has a reprobate mind. And he has that because God has given him up. It's a sign of judgment. If that is the attitude in your life today, my Christian young person, I want to say that it is already a sign of God's judgment in your life, of his great displeasure. It is one of the manifestations of that reprobate mind that comes when God gives up young people and men who are walking in disobedience to him. You say that to me. You announce it clearly. You are living a life controlled by the spirit of this age. The second thing you announce is that you are living a life that is not controlled by the spirit of God. We studied some time ago, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. One of the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit is being submissive one to another. There are, in Ephesians 5 and 6, 3 areas of submission developed by Paul. One is the submission of the wife to her husband. By being submissive to him, she demonstrates that there is an area that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. The one that we shall study 2 weeks from today is the submission of the employee to the employer. That is another demonstration that this is an area under the control of the Holy Spirit. The one that is in the center is the submission of the Christian child to his parents. And that is a manifestation that here is an area that is under the control of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you bring that relationship that you have with your parents, when you bring that to the Lord and say, all right, Lord, this is one area of my life that I want you to take control of. This is an area that I want you to be in control of. This is an area I want to yield to your lordship. Then when you do that, God by his Holy Spirit comes in and he controls that area of your life. And one of the evidences and manifestations that your relationship with your parents is an area that has been given over to the lordship of Jesus Christ is that the Holy Spirit is enabling you. Contrary as it is to your nature, he is enabling you to move and to say, I shall be obedient to them in all things as long as I am under obligation to them. And after that, I shall continue by the grace of God to honor them by consulting them. and to honor them by caring for them as their need may be in their old age. The responsibility is obvious. It is that you and I, as Christian children, are to honor our parents by obeying them. You respond to me by saying, but why? Why? And let's come quickly into our passage and find out that the reason is given to us in Ephesians chapter 6. The reason is simply but clearly stated. It is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice, for this is right. And I'm almost overwhelmed with the simplicity of Paul. Paul, how dare you give me such a simple answer? I'm asking you why. And you just say it's right. You just sound like my mother. You just sound like my father. It's just because I say so. Paul, why is it right? Why? There are several reasons why it is right. One reason why it is right is because the Lord said so. That's why Paul quotes the passage from Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Honor thy father and mother. He documents it with a proof text. He chooses a text from the Ten Commandments and says, do you want to know why it is right? Because God has said so in the Ten Commandments, that you are to honor your parents, and you honor them by obeying them. I think it's very important for us to recognize, young people, that this is one of the principles that God has incorporated into his universe for social living. Just very much as he has incorporated the principle of gravity in the natural realm. And I want to say to you this morning that it is just as foolish and tragic for you to try to violate this principle as it would be for you to go down and climb up to the top of Southland Light and to jump off and to challenge God's principle of gravity. To violate such a principle in the natural realm also, to violate such a principle in the social realm, leads only to tragedy and to loss. And that is very possibly one of the reasons why you are such a miserable person this morning. You are not obeying one of the principles that God has incorporated into his social life, into our social life. And one of the obvious reasons why we are to obey our parents, then, is simply because the Lord says so, as he has given it to us in the commandments. There's a second reason. The second, I think, is somewhat implied in the phrase, in the Lord. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I interpret that to suggest that the Christian young person is to obey his parents as unto the Lord, or because the Lord, rather than taking it in the sphere of the lordship of Christ. The reasons are obvious. In Ephesians 5:22, we are to be subject one to another in the fear of Christ. The wife is to be subject to her husband as unto the Lord. The employer is to be subject to his employer as to the Lord. And the parallel in the entire context is that each of these areas of submission is to be assumed as unto the Lord. I think Paul confirms it in that parallel verse of Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things. What was the reason there? What can change your life, my Christian young person? For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. It's well-pleasing to him. And one of the reasons why you and I are to honor our parents by obeying them is that this is well-pleasing to him. I ask why. Why does it please the Lord so much when you obey your parents? It is because both Old Testament and New Testament unite to say your parents are the representatives of God in your home. They represent him in the line of a command or the line of authority. And when you obey your parents, God loves it. He is well pleased. He finds great pleasure in it because by obeying them, you are obeying him. They are his representatives in that home of yours. There is a third reason, though. And the third reason is because it teaches respect. And that is why a Christian young person is in their whole life to learn to be obedient to their parents. If the book of Proverbs teaches us anything, it makes it exceedingly clear, my young Christian friends, that one of the things that you are to learn in your home is obedience to your parents. And thereby, to develop a climate or a mentality or a perspective in life so that as you have learned to be subject to the authority of your parents, you move out and you find it a natural thing to be subject to the authority of a school teacher. It moves out and it becomes a natural thing to be subject to the authority of a policeman. It becomes a natural thing to be subject to the authority of the President of the United States. That attitude of learning respect for authority begins in the home. And if that is so, then the situation in the United States of America today is a very, very dramatic commentary on the condition in our homes. This is why you are to be subject to your parents, to obey them, because hereby you learn authority, to respect authority. When Dr. Walkie was here speaking some months ago, he spoke on honoring your mother and father. He told us that Italy is the country in the world with the lowest rate of juvenile delinquency. One of the judges in the United States was sent over to Italy to investigate and discover why. His report was very simple. He said, "You may cure juvenile delinquency in the United States of America by 9 words. What 9 words? Put the father back as the head of the house." And what that judge was simply saying is that all of the lawlessness that prevails today is a reflection of the home situation, and children have not learned to obey their parents. And I'd like to say to you, oh my Christian young friend, with all of the earnestness of my heart, that you are starting down a road that will be havoc to you, that will be tragedy to your parents, and that will be a disgrace to your Lord if you do not learn in your home, regardless of the inconsistencies of your parents, regardless of their unworthiness, if you do not learn as unto the Lord to obey your parents, that's where you learn one of the basic principles so essential in life before us. The responsibility is clear. The reward, Paul gives us that. Here's the responsibility: obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. Then he comes on with that parenthesis, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, isn't that rather striking? This is the first of all of the Mosaic commandments that has a promise connected with it. And so I think I can hear you as a young person responding to all that I have said in these 35 minutes, and you've said, "But just a moment. That is a tremendous obligation. That is a tremendous requirement." And I want to say, my Christian young person this morning, that that is the key that will open up to you the door to a life of unparalleled blessing and usefulness in the hand of God. I base it upon the phrase, "This is the first commandment with promise," notice, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mightest live long on the earth." And I come, in conclusion, then, to note that the reward for obeying your parents is, number one, the blessing of God, and number two, yes, there it is, it's longevity of life. How thrilling! The promises of the Old Testament still live today. Here it is: "That it might be well with thee." That promises prosperity. That promises pleasure. That promises the blessing of God in your life. And it comes by assuming the responsibility that the Lord places upon you. At the end of the summer, we had a delightful summer here at Believer's Chapel with college students. Every Monday night after our Bible class in Genesis, we went to various homes. On the very last night, some of the young men who had been here with us away at college today, but some of the young men who had been here for the summer stayed behind and talked with me out on the street just in front of the house where we had been. One of the men, young fellow in college away, told us that this had been the most wonderful and beautiful summer of his whole life. I turned to him and I said, "Bob, tell me why." And he said, "All of my life I have been at loggerheads with my parents. Neither of them are Christians. And since I have become a Christian, we've had nothing but conflict. When I came back from college this summer, having learned the truth that we're talking about," he said, "I determined that with the help of God, I was going to submit myself to my parents." This is, I suppose, a 19, 20-year-old fellow. "I'm going to submit myself to my parents, and I'm going to obey them in all things." He said, "One of the greatest aspirations of my heart was to go to Bear Trap Ranch, is it? To go to Bear Trap Ranch this summer, to work as a counselor. One of the greatest ambitions of my heart was to do this. But my father, who is not a Christian, told me he did not want me to do that. He said that he wanted me to go away with him and with the wife, with his wife and with his younger brother on a family vacation." And the fellow turned to me and says, "You know, we have such a terrible time when we go away as a family." And I could just think of going to Bear Trap Ranch and all that that would mean to me. But he said, "I decided that I would obey my parents." And he said, "That was the course that I took during the summer." And he said, "As I look back on it, this has been the most wonderful and beautiful summer of my entire life." Now, I was not really plugged into Ephesians chapter 6 then, but if I had been, I would have turned and I would have said, "That's exactly what the Lord promised, Bob. He said that if you would only do that, it would be well with thee. It would be well with you psychologically, emotionally, in your own heart. It would be well with you in your life.
It will be well with you in your relations with other people. It's just what the Lord promised. And the other aspect of this promise is that thou mightest live long on the earth. Now, I do not know any way of spiritualizing that. I see exactly what it says. The Lord promises that the person who lives obediently to his parents, that honors his parents through that maturation development, that that person will have longevity of life.
Now, I also respect the fact that there are many other factors that come in to determine the length of a person's life. But I recognize in Ephesians chapter 6 that this is one of the important principles. Young fellow, young lady, if you long and crave and desire in your heart this morning, a long life of good days is the key that will open the door to that life. It is very possible that the entirety of your personality and of your social life today is completely warped and off-kilter because the very basic, fundamental relationship in social life is out of kilter. That is you and your relationship with your parents. And I invite you this morning, if that is the condition of your heart, to quietly bow your heart before him at this very moment and ask him for forgiveness. You, at this very moment, if you have not been honoring your parents by obeying them, you have been living in open sin. You have been violating the fifth commandment, which is just as serious as bowing down and worshiping an idol, just as serious as committing premeditated murder, just as serious as moral immorality in that life of yours. You are living in open sin, violating one of the commandments of God. I ask you this morning, if that is the condition of your heart, that you will bow quietly before him and that you will confess to him that you've been sinning, that you do not honor your parents as you ought, and that by the grace of God, there's going to be a change. What change may it involve? I suggest two things. The first change that it would involve is perhaps this afternoon, going to visit your parents, maybe making a phone call, sitting down with your parents, and confessing to them your rebelliousness, your lack of respect, the attitude that is in that heart of yours. That's the change that is required by making such a confession to the Lord. Coming to that parent of yours and confessing to them the problems, the attitudes that you have, and then turning to them and saying, Mom and Dad, with the help of God, because I am giving this area of my life over to Jesus Christ, depending upon the Holy Spirit to come in and take control of that area. With the help of God, there's going to be a change in my attitude to you. And I am going to give this area of my life so to the Lord that under the control of the Holy Spirit, I will step forward to obey you in all things as long as I live under an obligation economically to you. Can you do that this morning, this afternoon? May God challenge our hearts so that we might take the key that will open the door to a long life of many good days. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask this morning especially for the children in the audience, those to whom this message directly applies, those to whom the Lord is speaking in Ephesians chapter 6. And, O God, we pray that you will teach us very simply that here is one of the great lessons, one of the great principles upon which a life of blessing from God, a life of usefulness, a life of purpose, a life of happiness depends. God grant that we may respond to the teaching of thy word this morning in each of our lives. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.